This is a Collider.com audio interview.
For you, how has the last few years changed? Because what's funny, when you look at your IMDb profile, you can see how you got started with video games, mm-hmm. sort of breaking into the industry, now one of the busiest composers working in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Could you sort of talk about this dramatic change in your career?
Well, certainly, you know, there's a point where you're sitting there going, God, what I would really like more than anything else is to just be able to do like 3 movies a year, and hopefully they would be movies that I would like. This is me, you know, back in 1996 or something, planning ahead, going, if I could only get to that point, you know, and then here I am in a movie in a year where I'm doing like 5 movies and going, whoa, what was I thinking? This is like crazy. But the great thing about it is I get to work with people I love. I get to work with my friends. Like, I really consider everyone up at Pixar is like family to me. Everyone at JJ's Bad Robot, they're like family to me. You know, we've been through everything together. So it's almost like I found this amazing home, and to step out of it, it's to step outside the circle of that home, you'd have to really have something that I would be really, really raring to go for, because the experiences I have with JJ and with John and everyone up at Pixar are just, it's just great. It's just, it's similar to like when you were a kid and, you know, you have friends as a kid, right? And you're just like, I'm going to go in the backyard and play with so-and-so. And that was like the greatest thing you could ever do. Just hang out in the backyard and make a tent out of trees or, I don't know, you know, I mean, I used to have this fantasy that I could make robots out of the trash cans. Like, I literally thought, if I got all the right pieces, I could turn those trash cans into robots, you know? And that was like, of course it never happened, it never worked. But the idea of creating something or doing something with people that you love, that's what it's all about. And I really found that with these people. So yes, things have changed. Suddenly I'm working on giant movies, but my favorite part about it is that I actually feel like I was 10 years old again, you know, being able to do the work I do with the people I'm working with. They're like my flashback to my neighborhood. They're my neighbors. JJ on one side, Pixar on the other. And I'm going to go outside and play with my friends at Pixar. I'm going to play with the Pixar boys for a while. Mom, is that okay? You know? So that's kind of what it's turned into. And I kind of love that.
Well, I'm curious. You mentioned you 5 movies that you're doing. Could you talk a little bit about your writing process? And what's the typical length of time it takes you to do a movie? Typical length of time it takes you to do a TV show?
I think, you know, I write really quickly, and part of it is because, like, I love the projects that I'm working on, so I get really excited about it, and I get really creatively jazzed. So on Cars, I think I wrote that in 6 or 7 weeks, you know, just bam, just hit the ground running, and yeah, it's probably more closer to 6 weeks. But again, that's also from spending a lot of time thinking about it, too. You know, you know you're going to do this film, and it's always out in the future, so you're just kind of mulling it over and thinking about it, and then you see it and you're kind of prepared, and then you get an idea and you just go. And I'm not the kind of writer that sits there and hems and haws and doesn't have an idea of which way to go. I almost always will sit down and go, I'm going this direction, and just go. You know, for better or worse, it's about kind of just having a plan and an idea and going with it. And I think what helped me with that was doing all that TV. You know, when I worked on Alias, that was my first TV show. I had never done a television show before that. And to think that, okay, you have 3 or 4 days to write an episode every week. You have to do it because it's going to be on TV. No matter what, it's going to be on TV. So you have to finish it. So there's no time to fuck around. There's no time to decide, should I go this way or that way? Just pick away and go. And I think that's really helped me. Living 5 years of Alias, 6 years of Lost, kind of train myself to just make decisions, because half the battle is just making a choice, right? Whenever you're doing something.
No, totally.
Yeah.
Well, if you could talk a little bit about with Cars 2 and with directors in general, how collaborative do you find directors are with music? Because for example, with an actor, I think a director understands a little bit more about the acting process, mm-hmm. or can relate. But with composing,
it's like this voodoo kind of
a thing.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, could you sort of talk about, like, with Lasseter, did he come to you with some notes on Cars 2 and say, you know, this is great, but I would love to hear this? Or, you know, and with other, could you talk about your collaboration with directors?
You know, with John, it was, you know, you always sit down first and watch the film with the director. You guys watch it together, and you start and stop that film any number of times, you know, however many times you need to, because what you're looking for is an emotional story. You know, we don't even talk about drums and, you know, guitars, trumpets, whatever. None of that enters into the conversation ever, because these guys are really good as storytellers. So we talk in terms of story. How does that character feeling right now? Oh God, now it's getting really tense for him. All right, he's getting tense, and then he finds this out, and then suddenly it's sad because he just found out that somebody said something terrible about him. You know, and that didn't make him angry; it made him sad. You know, and so this is how we're talking about the characters, and what you're doing is creating an emotional roadmap, which then allows me to go back and write music which corresponds with that emotional roadmap. So that's a very important part of the process, sitting there with John and figuring out that particular roadmap. And then I'll write it, I'll bring it back to him, show him, and we'll talk about it. And it's a funny thing, like a lot of times I won't know if I've done it exactly right or not until I'm watching it with someone else. You know, when you present something that you worked on to somebody else, for some reason, that's the moment where you can see everything you've done wrong, you know? And they may or may not agree. It's more of a personal thing for me that I'm looking at it going, because you're self-conscious, suddenly there's someone in the room that's seeing it for the first time, and you almost get a chance to see it for the first time through their eyes. So that's a big moment for me, too, to go in and figure out, okay, I need to change this, this, and this, just to make my own notes. But then John will say something like, oh, could we maybe overhear this moment? You know, when this happens, let's make sure that feels like it's sad. Let's make sure. So it's always about the emotions.
I'm curious, comparing this, the work you did on this, to say a Star Trek, this, you can obviously exist in its own universe. Star Trek, which I fucking love. Let me just make this very clear. I rewatched it recently. Love that score. When you're doing something like that, obviously the pressure is there because everyone knows the music. Mm-hmm. And you have to reinterpret it in your own way. Could you sort of talk about, did that, for example, that score, how much more challenging was that for you, or second-guessing for you, knowing, oh my God, everyone is going to be...
That was a huge, huge nightmare for me, doing that score. I was so excited up to the point where I actually had to sit down and do it. And then I was like, oh my God, what do I do? Because not only did I have everyone else's expectations, I had my own expectations, because I grew up watching Star Trek. I loved the old series more than anything. I watched the movies, of course. I went and saw all those. So there was this huge thing where I felt, oh, this is totally wrong. I should not be doing this. Why am I doing this? You know, this was a bad idea. And I couldn't get a handle on what to write. It was one of the few times that I was not able to figure out what to do. And I would write theme after theme. I must have written 30 different themes. And I was not happy with any of them. And I kept showing them with JJ, and he felt the same way I did. And it wasn't until we all sat down, and it was Damon Lindelof. I was talking to Damon about it, and he's like, you know, I think the problem is you're thinking about it too much as Star Trek. You know, it's not Star Trek. Let's forget Star Trek. It's the story of two guys who meet and become friends. And once he said that, I was like, that's it. It's that simple. And the next thing I wrote is what we ended up with in the film, because that felt true to me. You know, I was writing music to my own expectations of what I thought a space movie should be, you know. Totally, for the first time in my life, forgetting, you know, because my rule has always been story, 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 story. It's all about story, story, story. And then I got to a project that was like I had some sort of fanish attachment to.
Of course.
And it screwed up my perception completely. And it took Damon just saying, no, it's about this. You know, and I think everyone, to an extent, had that issue working on the film. Writing it, directing it, certainly, all of these things, because you're like, you always have in the back of your head what Star Trek is, but it's not that. We're making it something else. We're doing our own version of it, of what, you know, the story, again, of two guys who meet and become friends. Now, it happens to be Kirk and Spock, but you can't take away the fact that it's just two guys who are becoming friends.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of talk JJ may or may not be coming back. Obviously, your relationship with Bad Robot. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you want to come back for a Trek 2?
Oh, yeah. No, I would love to, you know, depending how all the pieces fall, I'd be happy to do another one. I mean, it was one of those things when it ended, I was like, ah, never again. But now that time has passed, I mean, it's like, you know.
And the great reviews?
Yeah. And then everyone seemed to really like the movie. I mean, that was really great because, honestly, that's all we want, is for people to have a great time, people to enjoy something, people to, you know, be able to walk out of the theater and just say, that was really fun. I'm so glad I spent that 2 hours there, you know, because that's what we want for ourselves. We're making something that we would love to see, You know, and you hope that other people feel the same about it. It's not always the case, but that's what you're aiming for. But now that some time has passed, I look at it and go, yeah, I feel like I can do even better now. Like, I feel like I've got a handle on it, I can do better. So we'll see what the future holds, but yeah, that would be nice.
I definitely want to ask you about a previous project. Another score I love that you did was Speed Racer.
Okay.
And people can knock that movie all they want. Yeah. One of my favorite films of that year.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Like, melts
people
my
didn't
brain
get it.
In love.
No, people didn't get it. They didn't get it. They thought that was... God, every review I read just made me so angry because I'm like, you're not getting it. It's not supposed to be real. It's not. It's not. It's a world that they wanted to create, take you into. It's just someplace else. Just, it's like going into an art museum. Are you going to get angry because that doesn't look like a real person that was painted? You know, it's not the same. It's a piece of art.
It's also, I really believe it was 10 years ahead of its time.
Yeah.
With everyone in frame, everyone in focus, like a cartoon, yeah, real life, like, please.
It's great. It's brilliant. The Wachowski, and I got to tell you, they were the greatest people to work with. Loved every second of working with them. The sweetest, nicest people you will ever meet in your life.
Well, I was going to ask you, though, again, this is a little bit away from Cars 2, but about working for the Wachowskis. Mm-hmm. They're obviously, they don't do a lot of press. They don't talk.
Right.
What was the note-taking thing? Like, for them, compare them to, say, John on Cars, mm-hmm, 2. Like, how are they similar or different?
One more question after this.
Yeah, they were great because, again, I think great filmmakers always talk in terms of storytelling. And these guys were always about the story, you know? And that's how I love to talk about a film, too. The story. Are we in line with the story? Or what we're doing is, because you're creating something that needs to start here, go here. Brad Bird is fond of saying music is the easiest thing that can derail a film. Because it can, if it goes slightly a degree off track, it's going to take the viewer in the wrong emotional direction. You know, and so that's, to work with people who actually care about that, that's a good thing. And the Wachowskis completely cared about that. And they were just so much fun, too. Like, we would sit there and watch the film together and listen back to the playbacks, the synth stuff that I was doing. And we would just have fun, and we'd laugh, and we would just, it was just like a really enjoyable thing, you know. And they would get so excited about people's work. You know, they'd be like, look at the animation this guy did. Check this out. Look what he did. You know, they'd get very excited about it. Which is very simple. Like, John is the same way. John goes, look at that guy. Look what that guy did there. That's fantastic. Like, that enthusiasm for the craft is fantastic. And those are the people I love working with, you know. And they certainly have it. They're the best.
I have my last question, which, even though I have about 17 more.
I just want to say, I'm so happy that you liked Speed Racer.
Oh, no, dude. I can watch that movie again and again. It's fucking... I think it's about 10 minutes too long.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can tell you where to cut.
Yeah.
Because I've watched it so many times.
Yep.
I know exactly what could be fixed to make it a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
But it's fucking genius. It really is.
It's emotional.
Dude. Anyway. what do we have to do as fans of movies to get Brad Bird to make a sequel to The Incredibles?
Wow. That's a tough one, especially when, you know, I think the studio is asking the same question. What do we have to do as a studio to get Brad Bird to make The Incredibles?
Just ask him.
You know, Brad is all about waiting for the right story to happen, to formulate. And when Brad comes up with a story that excites him about it, you can, you know, rest assured he will sit down and make that movie. But for him, he has to be able to have a story that excites him, that makes it worth doing. He doesn't want to do it just because the world wants another one. He wants to do it because he wants to tell a great story. You know, so that's what motivates him, and I love that about him. You know, so for me, I go, I'll wait, because you know that whenever that day comes, he's going to have something special for us. And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, that's really what it's all about.
Absolutely, and I know I'm out of time, but I have to ask you about working with him again on MI4. Yeah, I pushed it a little further. I'm sorry. How's it going on that? Are you scoring? Or are you...
No, not yet. He just had his first cut put together, so there, you know, there's. I have to see that, and then. But I'll be starting to work on it really soon. But what I have seen so far looks fantastic. Like, it's like, oh my God, it's like Brad Bird directed a Mission Impossible movie. You know, it's like what you would expect. The imagery, you know, Brad is a wonderful filmmaker, especially in the sense of just visuals. He likes big images, you know. He likes it to feel like a movie, you know. And I watched it. He's going to kill me for saying this, but I watched a lot of it, and I said, oh, my God, it's as if David Lean directed an action movie, you know, with Tom Cruise. And he was, because, and Brad's like, stop saying that. Now that's too much pressure for me, you know. But that's the feeling I got just seeing the pieces that I saw. which is ultimately exactly what I wanted to feel like. When Brad said yes to doing this, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait, because it's going to feel like, you know. So I'm really excited about
it. He's very shy. I just saw him. Let me hit stop. I just saw him at the Star Trek